I've been involved in the network marketing profession for over 25 years, and I've never written a book, okay? I've earned over $15 million in commissions. I've built huge organizations around the world, 60 countries around the world. I've spoken all over the world, and I've done a lot of different things. And the reason why is I never could really get my brain around offering the information that I knew and my experience for $12. I couldn't grasp that. It was so challenging. GoPro, 7 steps to becoming a network marketing professional. We talk about the skills that you need to develop and a roadmap to start developing those skills. A lot of people are surprised to learn that there's only 7 skills that you need to develop in order to be a network marketing professional. 7 skills, not 700. These skills are all learnable, they're all doable, and they're all repeatable. You can teach them to others, but you need to know what they are, how to develop them, and how to practice and get better. I want to help the people involved in the network marketing profession. I love the people in the network marketing profession more than any other group in the world because they're courageous, they're entrepreneurial to their core, they go against the grain. This book can help you to really kind of formalize the skill sets that you need to develop, number one, that you need to teach, number two, and you need to replicate, number three. You may have heard some of these concepts here and there, but I haven't seen anywhere in network marketing where we put it all in one place. The thing about this book is it's an easy read. It's 160 pages, pretty logically laid out. We're going to be talking about the principles of network marketing and also the skill sets involved in network marketing. But when people pick this book up, what I want them to do is not just read it, because you can read it and logically kind of understand it in one read, but I want them to underline it. I want them to highlight it. I want to go back with a fresh mind on a regular basis and say, okay, let me take a look at how to find people to talk to about my network marketing business. Let me take a look at how I'm going to present, or how I'm going to promote for events, or how I'm going to get people started, these different skill sets, right? I want you to learn it so well that you could teach it, okay? Because when you can do that, then your organization is going to really take off, okay? It's logically put together, it's simple to read, but it's going to take some time to master. I really want people to master the concepts, because when that happens, the network marketing profession changes forever. I want to help the entire network marketing profession because it's filled with the greatest people in the world. And I'm more in a legacy stage of my career. So I want to take this information and see it translated into every language around the world and see people using this as a staple in their library for learning. And even at $12, you know, normally this kind of information would be hundreds if not thousands of dollars. In some other type of an information product or something like that. But $12, just know this, the people who get this book, they're getting the best value of any $12 they will ever spend in their lifetime if they have any interest in the network marketing profession.
Chapter 1, Network Marketing Isn't Perfect, It's Just Better. Do you feel restless? Do you feel unsatisfied? Do you feel there must be a better way when it comes to your work and the way you make your living? The good news, there is a better way, but it's different than what you were taught in school. Let me explain. As I travel and speak around the world, I like to play an audience participation game. I ask people to help me create the ultimate business, and to tell me specific things they'd like to have in that business and the things they'd like to avoid. It always makes for a very interesting list. If we were face-to-face, I'd do the same thing with you now, but since we're not, let me summarize what people from over 30 countries have told me while creating what I like to call the perfect career list. People usually start naming things they don't want. No boss, no commute, no alarm clock, no employees, no politics, no compromises, no discrimination, no educational requirement. And then as people start to use their imagination in a more positive way, they start to visualize some positive attributes. Something positive, great product or service, unlimited income, residual income, enjoy the people you work with, time freedom, something meaningful, personal growth, lots of perks, international, contribution to worthy causes, low risk, low startup cost, economy proof, tax benefits, fun. Now, you might add some attributes of your own, but wouldn't you agree that's a pretty good start? Imagine being able to enjoy a career with those attributes. All jobs that I know of fall into one of five categories: blue collar, white collar, sales, traditional business ownership, and investing. Blue collar careers. Here's the Wikipedia definition of blue collar. A blue collar worker is a member of the working class who performs manual labor. My definition is somebody who labors to fix something, make something, clean something, build something, or service something or someone. In my life, I've worked many blue-collar jobs, and for anyone who's ever engaged in this line of work, there's a certain satisfaction in a job well done. But here's the big question. Can blue-collar work deliver on the perfect career list? The obvious answer is no. Sure, it can deliver on some of the attributes. It might have a great product and a low startup cost or any number of other individual items on the list. But if you really look at it, blue-collar just can't get you where you want to be. Not the perfect career. White-collar careers. Here's the Wikipedia definition of white-collar. The term white-collar worker refers to a person who performs professional, managerial, or administrative work, in contrast with a blue-collar worker whose job requires manual labor. Typically, white-collar work is performed in an office or cubicle. My definition is a person who's employed by someone else to do work other than manual labor or sales. Many people choose a white-collar career as it's one of the most socially acceptable of the options available. It has long been viewed as the safe and secure option. Recently, that's changed. The implied contract that if you're loyal to the company will be loyal to you is long gone. I've also been a white-collar worker in my career. In my experience, there are two types of people who do this type of work: achievers and hiders. Achievers are the people who want to perform at a high level. They are ambitious, motivated, and energetic. They are full of ideas and want to move up the corporate ladder, which are great attributes to have. But there is a downside for the achiever. The moment a person decides to be an achiever, they become a target. Their boss sees them as threatening to their job, so they start to hold them down or take shots at their reputation. Their peers see them as a person who will either embarrass them or keep them from getting a promotion, so they start to do what they can to undermine their accomplishments. So to remain an achiever and survive in this hostile environment, a person must become good at one thing that has nothing to do with their productivity, and that's politics. They must learn how to navigate the political world by diminishing their enemies and strengthening their relationship with powerful people. In fact, some of the most successful people in the corporate world aren't achievers at all. They're just pure politicians. So if you decide to work in the corporate environment and to be an achiever, you must accept the fact that you must become a good politician also. Now let's talk about the hiders. These are the people who hate politics but still need a job. They learn not to be the ambitious achiever. They don't stand out. They don't speak up in meetings. They don't bring new ideas. They hide. They keep their heads down and do as they're told. They do just enough so they aren't talked about negatively. They survive. And this has worked for decades. But in the new economy, it's becoming much more difficult to hide, and people are running out of time. So back to our perfect career list. Can a white-collar job deliver on the list? Again, the clear answer is no, certainly in not very many areas. Sales. Some people choose to get away from being an employee and get involved in a sales career. This is certainly more adventurous because typically salespeople are paid on their production instead of by the hour. I've known thousands of salespeople. There's a common theme I've noticed over the course of my career. The typical salesperson will have a period of time where everything goes perfectly. Everything they touch turns to gold, and they make some really good money. As soon as that happens, they almost always set their lifestyle to that level of income. They buy a new house, get new cars, put their kids in better schools, purchase a vacation home, the works. Everything's great for a while. And then something changes. The company changes the compensation plan. Their territory gets reduced. A competitor shows up. They lose their best customer. The economy goes into recession. New technology makes their offer less valuable, or government regulations change their industry. These are just a few examples. There are hundreds more reasons why the salesperson's world could, and probably will, get more complicated. When that happens, with the big lifestyle they've developed, Now, 40 hours a week isn't enough to pay the bills. So they go to 50 hours a week, and then 60, and then 70. And then their life gets very small. Yes, they have the stuff, but they don't have the time to enjoy it. The other challenge for the sales career is, no matter how a person does, they still start at zero the next day. It can be tiring to live under that kind of pressure over a long period of time. Can a sales career pay the bills? Sure. But can it deliver on the perfect career we described earlier? Again, the answer is no. Traditional business ownership. Some people opt for the big dream, building their own business where they're the boss and they call the shots. It's an exciting idea, isn't it? Here's the reality for most people. Step one, they use their life savings, take on new debt, and many times borrow money from friends and family to get started. Step two, they take on more debt in the form of leases and personal guarantees in just about every direction. Step three, now instead of focusing on what they're good at, let's say they're great at sales and decided to start their own business, they have to be all things to all people. They act as attorney for legal matters, accountant for financial matters, babysitter for employee matters, negotiator for purchasing matters, and collection agency for accounts receivable matters. They even get to take out the garbage. They're doing everything but selling, which is what they were good at in the first place. Step four, they struggle. Instead of owning the business owns them. They're the first person to work and the last person to leave, and after everyone else gets paid, they might be able to take home enough money to pay their own bills, let alone reduce the debt they incurred to start the business in the first place. Step five, they succeed or they fail. They either hit a point down the road where the business is successful or they fail, many times filing for bankruptcy and falling back into a corporate or sales job. And even if they are successful, that usually means a lifetime of long hours and stress. Sounds romantic, doesn't it? If you haven't started your own business before, ask friends who have if this description isn't accurate. Most people who start their own traditional business aren't worried about getting a return on their investment. They just want a return of their investment. It's pretty clear that traditional business ownership can't provide the perfect career as we've described it. The investor. The last category of ways to earn a living in the world today is to be an investor. And what do you need to become an investor? Money, right? If you don't have a lot of money, it's going to be very difficult to earn a living from the return on your investments, especially if you try to be conservative to reduce the risk of loss. But let's say you do. What's the next thing you need in order to be a successful investor? You need to have incredible knowledge and skill. I know more people than I could count who were skillful real estate investors over the years. But when things radically changed in the real estate market, their skill couldn't help them. They lost big. Would you like to invest in someone's traditional small business? Good luck. In most cases, you won't be an investor. You're more likely to be a philanthropist. How about the stock market? People do great there, don't they? A few do, at least from time to time. But I know more people who've lost than have won, especially in the past decade. It's very difficult to have guaranteed returns when you're not in control. And trust me, as an investor, you are not in control. Anything can happen, and it can happen overnight. Let me tell you a story to illustrate that point. In late 2001, I was living large. I'd sold a company I co-founded and was working as a very highly paid consultant. For my part of the sale, I received approximately 170,000 shares of stock in the new company. It was publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange and selling for about $44 a share, which meant the value of my stock was around $7.5 million. I had big income and a great portfolio. Life was good. I used part of the stock to secure a home construction loan of about $2 million for a dream house I was building. As for the rest, I didn't diversify because I knew the company was in great shape with a good product and an amazing sales force. Then something out of my control happened. Overnight, the stock went to $37 a share because a group of investors had targeted the company and shorted the stock. In other words, the lower the stock price went, the more money they'd make. I thought it was ridiculous because the company was doing great. So I bought some more shares at $37, using my existing shares as collateral, knowing the price would go back up. It went to $33. I bought more shares. It went to $27. I started getting margin calls, which meant if I didn't send them money, they were going to start selling my shares to cover the losses. I didn't have it to send. The stock continued to go down. It went all the way to $10 a share. And my $7.5 million was gone. Poof. All in less than 90 days. Now, the stock eventually came back and the company was taken private for $65 a share. But I wasn't there to capitalize on it. I was wiped out. Could I have been smarter? Sure. Did I make mistakes? Absolutely. But here's the lesson. If you're going to be an investor, you have to accept that things will be taken out of your control from time to time. And when that happens, it can be very expensive. So back to our perfect career list. Can being an investor deliver on that list? I don't think so. We've talked about blue-collar work, white-collar work, sales, traditional business ownership, and investing. And none of them can deliver on our perfect career list. So is the perfect career even possible? The answer is yes, but to get there, you need to understand that everything is changing. The old models of compensation are dead or dying, and we are going through the biggest economic shift in any of our lifetimes. The new economy, the world as you know it, has changed. For the people who don't recognize that fact, it will be the worst of times. For the people who do, it will be the best of times. Over the last 100 years, an interesting phenomenon occurred. The rise of the corporation became the standard in society. The safe and respected place for people to exist in the world was as an employee. Step one, go to school and learn how to be an employee. Step two, find a company that will employ you. Step three, work for that company for 40 years. Step four, retire. In recent decades, the promise of being rewarded by the company for your loyalty and hard work has been exposed as a myth. People began to realize the loyalty they were giving to their company was not being given in return. So a different process evolved. Step one, go to school to learn to be an employee. Step two, find a company that will employ you. Step three, switch companies for various political or economic reasons every 3 to 5 years over the course of your career. Step four, find that you can't retire comfortably after 40 years, so you keep working. And now we're going through the biggest shift in any of our lifetimes. For a century, companies have paid people by the hour, by the week, or by the year. That's changing on a global level. The world is moving towards a performance economy, and it's already happening. Here's what that means. In the future, you're only going to be paid for performance. You won't be paid for your time anymore. Servers in the food industry already live in this model. They get a very low hourly wage required by law, and they make their living through tips based upon their performance. If you can imagine the same model being applied to virtually every job in the world, you'll see what's coming. The person cleaning the rooms in a hotel won't be paid by the hour anymore. They'll be paid by the room. For office workers, here's an example. A person has a $60,000 annual salary. Step one, the company will lower that salary to something like $50,000 because with today's marketplace, there's other people who will take the job for a lower amount. Step two, they'll reduce their base salary to something like $20,000 a year. Step three, they'll tell that person that they can get an additional $30,000 over the year if they hit certain performance benchmarks on a monthly basis. In other words, if they hit their numbers, they can make an additional $2,500 a month. Now the pressure's on and the company's loving it. If you don't hit your numbers, they can save even more money. If you do hit your numbers, guess what's in your future? They're going to raise your requirements. Unless you are extremely specialized, this will happen to you if it hasn't already. Count on it. And it will happen in every single profession worldwide. The evolution has begun. Why is this happening? One, it's a better model for the company. They'll get better results with less expense. Two, the new economy needs fewer people, so the company has more people competing for fewer and fewer jobs. Let me explain why the new economy needs fewer people. The exponential rise of technology has changed everything. Over 100 years ago, 90% of the population worked in agriculture. Today, because of dramatic efficiencies, it's less than 1%, and the farming jobs are gone. Remember customer service call centers where you talk to people? Today, you talk to a machine, and those jobs are gone. Remember when companies had a massive amount of salespeople? Now people order online, and those sales jobs are gone. Remember Blockbuster Video and all of its employees? Now people watch movies on their handheld or tablet devices, and those jobs are gone. I love books, but go to your local bookstore while you can. They'll be history soon, and so will the jobs provided by those stores. I could go on and on through virtually every work category in the world. Technology and efficiency are eliminating jobs every single day, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. In fact, it's only going to accelerate. If you're sitting there waiting for the economy to bounce back and for jobs to return, don't. They aren't coming back. Just like the children of farmers saw the handwriting on the wall and left farming for new vocations, the same thing is happening for people working in old economy jobs. To survive, they'll need to open their eyes to this reality and find something new. Network marketing is better. The best way I know to not only survive, but to thrive in the new economy is network marketing. There are important products and services in the world today that need to be promoted to the people who need them. Consumers still need to be educated. Companies have choices. They can dive into the ever-fragmented world of advertising to get the word out. They can hire a large and expensive sales force to sell their products or services, or they can utilize network marketing to tell their story to the world. More and more, companies will choose to use network marketing because it fits the new economy. They can provide all the corporate support and paid distributors on a purely performance basis to promote their products. It's extremely efficient because in the new economy, word-of-mouth advertising continues to work better than any other form of promotion. The company can just take the money they would have spent on advertising and promotion and pay it to their distributors to spread the word. What that means for you as an entrepreneur is that you can receive all the benefits of traditional business ownership without the typical risks. And there will be no cap on your income because network marketing companies want you to make as much as possible. If you're going to be paid for performance anyway, why live with the cap? The catch to network marketing. This all sounds great, and it is, but there's a catch that most people won't tell you. Here it is. You must accept a temporary loss of social esteem from ignorant people. That means for a while, people still living in and trying to function in the old system will think less of you. They won't understand. They'll think you're crazy for being involved in network marketing. And actually, the word accept isn't completely accurate. You need to do more than that. You need to embrace the temporary loss of social esteem from ignorant people. You are seeing the future before it becomes apparent to everyone else. You are the smart one. You are the person taking action to live a better life. There's a reason why people will think less of you, and it's not just because they're stuck in the old system. Let me see if I can help you better understand this, because if you decide to make network marketing your profession, it's important to know. Most people have either joined a network marketing company or know someone who has. This is what goes through the mind of virtually every person who decides to get involved. I can think of 5 or 6 people who might do this too. My sister would be great. My friend loves this kind of thing. I know this other person who'd be amazing. Okay, I'll join. In other words, they aren't joining a profession. They're just hoping to get lucky, sign up a few people to cover their own startup costs, and sit back and wait for the money to roll in. The allure of being paid for someone else's efforts is powerful, but often badly misunderstood. They haven't started a real business. They just purchased a glorified lottery ticket. Imagine a lottery ticket with 6 scratch-off spots. Those spots represent each of the people the new person thinks will certainly join. They approach those people and try to get them to join. And because of their lack of skill, most of them end up with nothing, just like the lottery ticket. This becomes just another lost opportunity. And since they've acted in unskilled ignorance, they may have damaged some friendships as well. So they rip up the ticket, and instead of taking responsibility for not really starting their business, they blame network marketing and make sure to tell the world, "Look, I've been there. I've done it. I talk to every person I know, and network marketing just doesn't work. Save your money." That's what you're dealing with if you choose this as a profession. The opinions of ignorant people who think they've done it right and it doesn't work. If that's going to be too hard to handle, then network marketing isn't for you. But if you can embrace it, the world is yours. The people who embrace this get paid big money. Companies will pay unlimited amounts to people who can help blind people see, who can educate the ignorant, and who can build a community of like-minded people. Some people like to say, "Perception is reality." I hate that saying. All great leaders in the world have ignored it for centuries. What if Nelson Mandela had said perception is reality? What if Martin Luther King Jr. had said perception is reality? What if Steve Jobs had said perception is reality? The great leaders of the world said, "Reality is reality, and I'm going to do everything possible to help people understand that fact. The truth is, network marketing isn't perfect. It's just better. And that's reality. Chapter 2. If you're going to be involved in network marketing, decide to be a professional. Decide to go pro. There are three categories of people in network marketing. I've seen all of them, and I've been all of them. They are the posers, the amateurs, and the professionals. Posers. Posers treat this profession as a lottery ticket. They're hoping to hit it big with as little effort as possible. When I first started out, I was a poser, hoping to ride on my dad and his partner's coattails. Luckily for me, I got some results, and that kept me going, at least in the short term. But I think you can agree with me that remaining in the poser category is a bad idea. Within about 90 days, I moved out of that category and became an amateur. Amateurs. Amateurs focus on different things. One of the things I continued to focus on as an amateur was luck. I was really hoping to get lucky and sign that monster distributor who was going to make me rich. We've all heard the stories of some person who had their lives completely changed by one sign-up. In reality, even if some of those stories are true, it really doesn't serve our profession very well because it makes people spend their time hoping for that big hit. The second thing I focused on as an amateur was timing. I was always worried about timing. Did I get in early enough? Could I be the youngest top person in my company? How many other leaders were already in my local market? Were there too many to compete against? Were there enough to get true momentum? How was the company? Was it too big? Did I miss the growth curve? Was it too small? I was obsessed with the idea of timing. The third thing I focused on as an amateur was positioning. Was I in the right organization? Did other people have a better position than me? Maybe I didn't have the right upline. Would I do better somewhere else? And the fourth thing I focused on as an amateur was shortcuts. I was always looking for an angle. Any gimmick that came down the road, I was up for it. Newspaper advertising? Okay. Help wanted signs by the side of the road? Let's do it. Passing out flyers at the mall, I'm in. Going door to door, let's try it. The internet didn't exist when I was an amateur. Just imagine how crazy I would have been over all the internet tactics I could have used to distract myself. What that meant was, every time I heard of some shiny new approach being trained by anyone in the world, I was digging into it to try to find the shortcut. And then, I finally made the decision to go pro. Wikipedia's definition of a professional is a person who is paid to undertake a specialized set of tasks and to complete them for a fee. My definition of a network marketing professional is a person who is an expert at the skills required to build a large and successful network marketing organization. There is a phrase in our profession that does more harm than good. It says, ignorance on fire is better than knowledge on ice. The point of this phrase is that it's better to be excited and ignorant than it is to be apathetic and smart. That may be true, but why do we have to choose one or the other? Let me give you an example. Let's say you're in need of an operation. At the hospital, you meet your doctor. He comes in and says, I'm very excited to conduct your operation. I'm so passionate about it, I could hardly sleep. No one on earth wants to help you more than I do. You say, wow, thanks, doctor. How long have you been doing these type of operations? And he says, well, I've never had any schooling on this particular operation, and I've never practiced, and I've never done one, but it doesn't matter because I'm so passionate. How are you going to feel? Enthusiasm is great, but eventually you have to marry that passion with skill. Professional athletes will devote endless hours to preparing for competition. But when they join network marketing, they won't give one day's worth of effort to learning our skills. Doctors will devote a decade of their lives at huge financial expense to become physicians. But when they join network marketing, they won't give a month's study and practice to becoming a network marketing pro. In his book Outliers, Malcolm Gladwell's research showed it takes approximately 10,000 hours of practice to reach the expert level at anything. With 4 hours a day of practice, that adds up to about 7 years. That formula applies to network marketing as well. It's going to take about 7 years for you to become world class. The good news is the profession is very forgiving and you can earn a lot of money while you're becoming an expert. The trick is not to get complacent. Don't stop learning while you're earning. When I made the decision to go pro, everything changed for me. I stopped focusing on luck, timing, positioning, and shortcuts. I even stopped focusing on the money. My world changed when I started focusing on the skills and made the commitment to practice, practice, practice until I mastered them. Another thing happened when I decided to go pro. All of a sudden, my group started to grow. It was like people could sense my change of focus and my commitment to excellence, and they wanted to be part of it. Think about a time in your life when you were around a person committed to excellence. It might have been a teacher, a coach, a boss, or a friend. How did it make you feel? It was inspiring, right? You'll find you'll be an inspiration to others when you make this important shift. Bottom line, if you're going to be involved in this great profession, decide to do it right and treat it like a profession. If you go pro, this business is great. If you stay a poser or an amateur, you're going to be miserable. And by now, you've noticed I use the word profession a lot. I do that on purpose. Network marketing is more than just a project. It's not an industry, it's a profession. If you do it right, it's truly a career choice. It can take you out of working in a job that doesn't make you happy to a place of total freedom. That's why I call my website networkmarketingpro.com. Here's what I tell people every day. Ladies and gentlemen, my wish for you is that you decide to become a network marketing professional, that you decide to go pro, because it is a stone-cold fact that we have a better way. Now let's go tell the world. When the site launched on March 11, 2009, very few people called themselves network marketing professionals. That's no longer the case. Millions of people have changed the way they think about our business, and I'm proud of that fact. I look forward to the day when it's common for people to hear, "I'm a doctor, but I'm also a network marketing professional. I work in construction, but I'm also a network marketing professional. I'm an athlete, but I'm also a network marketing professional." The more people